The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Still to come this hour, Nick Whalen from RotoWire on NBA Finals, game number three tonight from... Not South Beach, but it's, I don't know if you're familiar with the terrain down there in South Florida. It's
Biscayne Bay.
It's Biscayne Bay, south of South Beach, if you will. North of Key Biscayne, south of South Beach.
You know, I don't really care, though, when people mix that one up. It's just don't combine the Panthers and the Heat together, because that's about a 50-minute drive, 5-0, to get from arena to arena.
All that stuff. Because the Panthers play in Sunrise.
Sunrise, and it's like west. Like, you're closer to the Everglades than you are to actual South Beach.
And then who plays in Miami Gardens?
That's the football stadium.
That's the football stadium, which is also out there.
That's.
But the Heat, that's right in there.
That's right there in Miami.
Yes. Yep. Looking forward to that tonight. And we'll also talk to Matt Brown, co-host of The Handle, which Kelly, also, of all his gets, that's the big one this morning, because Brown is tough to book.
Took a couple texts.
We know him the best, hardest to get. Ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Bidlin would like to make an announcement here before we bring Pritch on. Would you like to say something?
Well, we've just been, you know, we've had a couple, we talked to Mike Pritchard regularly, and we've talked to, at least me, I'm obsessed with the idea of Mike Pritchard's experiences in Japan playing football. I feel like he's probably played more American football games in Japan than any other player.
I think he holds a record.
I feel like that. Mm-hmm. All I stated during the break is, without thinking much down the roster, if I could pick any person at VSiN to party with in any place at any period of time, it would be mid-90s, early 90s Pritch in Tokyo hanging out partying with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mike Pritchard, everybody.
Quite an endorsement.
That is quite an introduction. Our own Mike Pritchard, VSiN host, former first-round draft pick, and, of course, college football national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. How you doing, Pritch?
I'm doing great. Kelly, you know, we can also throw in Barcelona, Spain.
Wait a minute. Let's hear about that.
You know what? We played an exhibition game against the Raiders in 94 in Barcelona. And that's when I found out about the siestas, right? Like the entire city, Barcelona was shut down midday.
Excited about the
siestas. And then reopen up around 7 o'clock, 7:30, and then go all night.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Kelly, that would give Japan, Roppongi and all that out there in Tokyo, that would give them a run for their money. Barcelona was off the chain.
All right. There we go. Marking it on the list.
I get my Sephardic roots are over there in Barcelona. By the way, did you love that it was like sunlight at 10 p.m. also in Barcelona?
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. The best food I've ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I always said this, I've said, well, recently, you know, with COVID and all that, I'm like, you know, if everything hits the fan, I'm moving to Barcelona because that place was incredible. Luckily for us, it didn't happen.
I don't even want to ask you football questions. I just want to hear you telling Barcelona stories. Like, I mean,
you know, me too. It's
the greatest. What a life you've led.
You know, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Again, Freaknik documentary coming out next year. Hopefully, Pritch is
yes,
not
sir.
In
yes, sir.
Hopefully, I didn't catch any footage of Pritch there. Let me ask you a few football questions. I keep asking you this one because we keep saying on this show that this is going to happen again and again and again. And guess what, Pritch? It keeps happening again and again, which is another ball player, this time Isaiah Rodgers. I don't know if investigation gives it so much gravitas, but they're looking into his betting on sports. I mean, I guess what I'm saying, what I said yesterday was, I will, you know, wake me up, because I believe it's going to happen all the time. Wake me up when it's someone really impactful, like a quarterback the week before a game. Do you think, and I think I've asked you this before and I remember your answer, but just to reiterate, you think the NFL would follow through? You don't think they're going to have different rules for different players on this?
No. It's all about the shield. I think the NFL would make a pretty big statement with said quarterback. You know, they're already trying to devalue players. I mean, look what the NFL did to Lamar Jackson until, you know, he signed back with his former team. DeAndre Hopkins is kind of going through that too. You know, the devaluing of a player like that, right? And so if it's a high profile player, and there's been high profile situations before, we can name a few, in which the NFL might've swept things under the rug. But when it comes to the shield, the integrity of the game, this league does not mess around with that. So to me, these players educate themselves. I mean, the NFLPA, the players, we get, and as a retired player, we get 48 to 49% of revenue sharing that the NFL generates, the revenue. And so we have that portion, that high percentage. And part of that is the partnerships with the National Football League. And the partnerships, as we all know, with the National Football League includes DraftKings, includes FanDuel, includes all these gambling outlets. So I don't know why guys are taking the risk other than the fact that they're not aware and not educated properly, right? I mean, back in my day, when the NFL did not have these partnerships, they would scare the living daylights out of you in terms of if you had any affiliation with any type of gambling because of the shield. And being a Vegas guy, and I grew up here, I'm from here, and I would never come close to walking into a sports book. Yeah. I would get to the edge of the Westgate, to the stairs, and stop because I did not want to be filmed or photographed inside, and I didn't want that heat, Gil. So I think the players, they just need to aware themselves, be aware of the situation, also educate about the revenue sharing. And therefore, when you retire, then you can enjoy gambling like I'm doing right now.
Yeah. I do the same thing at the Westgate, Kelly, but for different reasons that Bridge does. But you said something in there. You said, I don't know if they're being educated or if they're aware. Let's just have one of our private conversations here. What is your best guess as to, like, what percentage of these guys do you think are just unaware?
I would say maybe, you know, for the entire National Football League, the current player situation, I'd go as high as 25%.
Yeah, that's what I'm
because,
thinking.
Yeah, you know, they're checked out. Like, we have these meetings with our rep and, you know, and you got the off season, you got so much going on, you have all these meetings. They'll have another meeting in training camp, I'm sure. Coming later on this summer in training camp, there will be representatives from the NFLPA, perhaps NFL2, and each of the 32 franchises reiterating, do not gamble on your own team. Do not gamble on football. Do not gamble or play sports bets within a facility. Can you gamble outside of all that? Yeah, but certainly do not gamble on your own sport. I think they'll slam that hammer down and make people aware. But then also, once the league starts, the season starts, I think your focus as a player will go towards the season more so than the off season and what's taking place right now. But, you know, these guys are getting caught based on the fact that they – or gambling, you know, during the season too. So, the awareness just needs to amp up a little bit, or a lot of bit, if you will.
I just think that if this just keeps happening, and it's going to, that at some point the NFL is going to be like, well, we can't do this to everybody who's gambling. I mean, we'll see. I don't want to beat the horse on that. Debo yesterday was asked, you know, hey, what do you think about your season last year? And this was after his 2021 breakout season. Remember, he had the contract dispute, and they worked it out in San Francisco. But he was like, it was awful. And they're like, what aspect of the season last year did you think was awful? He said, every aspect. Why does that make me want to bet the Niners more than I would have before hearing that? Is that a good instinct?
Yeah, because Debo felt like death. You know, think about all the injuries he went through, man. And I think for his body, he got the contract, right? He got what he wanted from that standpoint. And they still utilized him in a certain way. But the emergence or the trade of Christian McCaffrey kind of lightened the load a little bit for Debo. Debo is that type of player that is never satisfied. And when you have a great player like that that's never satisfied, that's the catalyst. You know, and I think San Francisco's got a number of those players. The only question mark I have about the 49ers right now is the health aspect of Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy's in an environment and a culture where he'll learn how to get better. And being Mr. Irrelevant is irrelevant right now because he's going to learn how to get better. And so it's not about where you start. It's always about where you finish in the league. And if you understand how to get better each and every year, you can have a fruitful career. So that roster is loaded. The only question mark, like I mentioned before, would be Brock Purdy in health.
But it sounds like you think, if not, you know, his performance in the last seven games last year, you know, before the injury, if not sustainable, you do think he's going to be okay, is what it sounds like.
You're talking about Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got so many people around him that's really good. And I play with John Kitna in Seattle. And he was surrounded with a lot of great players. And we went to the playoff. But then when he got on his own page away from what Holmgren wanted, that was the demise of John Kitna in Seattle. And so he found a place in Cincinnati, as we know, and certainly Dallas. But these young players, you know, once they understand what it takes to get better and not go outside the box here, color outside the lines, if you will, and stay within themselves, but get better and improve each and every year, then look at the roster, right? We're going to see if Brock Purdy can distinguish himself that way. As a player, as a better. And once you recognize that, it might be too late. You might want to get out in front of that. But I'm betting on the fact that or thinking on the fact that he's going to improve this year if he stays healthy.
All right, we have 45 seconds. The Titans GM Rand Carthon in March reportedly was shopping Derrick Henry around for trades. In April, he denies it. Derrick Henry says he's not worried about it. He's got a good relationship. Your thought on... You know, what would you post the price on a yes, he will be traded on and a no?
Ooh. Wow. I would make the no a favorite right now. Just because, so close to training camp. I mean, to trade him right now, I mean, who's going to take that, right? I mean, there's some teams out there with some salary cap room. But I just don't see that happening between now and training camp.
Okay. Rich, always fascinating. We'll do the whole story time thing next time, maybe. Thank you so
Let's
much.
Let's do it. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Mike Pritchard, everybody. VSiN Zone at MI Pritchard on Twitter. Kelly dreaming about hanging out with Pritch in the 90s in Japan and Barcelona.
What a time. What a time.
Little Japan run, little Spain run. Pritch, what a life. Nick Whalen on the NBA Finals. Game 3 next. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. We didn't get to this one yesterday. We get tweets at Beating the Book. We didn't get to a lot at the end because we had Chrissy on giving the names, inductees into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, into Spanky's Bet Bash Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Namely, by the way, Bob Martin and Jackie Gaughan. And Chrissy will be back on the show in coming weeks to announce more names that are being inducted to the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. But we were talking about, before that, about what I was just talking to Pritch about, which is this stuff about betting and NFL players betting, college players betting, that's going to happen over and over again. And I said, I'll believe it, when it's a big player like a quarterback, I'll believe it, if they crack down on that person, that'll be something. Wake me up when that happens, kind of thing. And I said to you, I go, don't name any quarterbacks. I'm just saying, general. And you're like, Josh Allen. So he like randomly blurred out a name. So 3Jack H3131 says, thanks for the NFL betting tip. As heard on a numbers game, Josh Allen is throwing games to Bill. Please don't say that. Kelly didn't mean it. He did not mean it.
He'd be like the worst example, too, because he's the guy who's always running with the ball, throwing the ball. It'd be so obvious if he actually was.
John Kennedy was super complimentary tweet. I really appreciate that. This is from John Balduzzi. He said, stunning analytical breakdown. Stupid faces. Works for me. Fires on heat. Fires on heat plus 2.5. He's fading the stupid faces angle on that. I always appreciate the tweets at Beanie the Book. Good, bad, as long as they're funny, we will read them. You can murder us, but if they're funny, we'll absolutely read them. Nick Whalen joins us. NBA Finals, game number 3 tonight in Miami. Nick Whalen comes to us from RotoWire. He's a senior analyst at RotoWire. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen. Just substitute the L with the number 1. How you doing, Nick?
Doing well, guys. It's good to be back. Feels like a long, long layoff since game 2 of this series. I think we've kind of been lulled to sleep for going every other day for so long throughout these playoffs that I find myself just like jonesing for another finals game.
I 100% agree with that. We will now be on the every other day schedule from here on in, correct? Even if it goes 6, do we go to Tuesday next week?
I believe we are every other day.
That is a good schedule.
Yeah, I think that's
true. I mean, game 4 is on Friday. And you know that for sure.
It's definitely Wednesday, Friday, Sunday here this week. And if it goes beyond that, I think we're Tuesday, or do we have to wait till Wednesday? Kelly's checking on that right now. Okay.
Friday, Monday, Thursday? Never mind. We're way off.
Oh, we're way off.
This is not, it's not even close to every other day.
Oh, wait a minute. So I'm way off. So it's only, this is the only.
This is the only one.
So Wednesday, Friday is the only game. We have to wait till Monday?
Yes, Monday.
Very uncool.
Wait a minute. Are you serious?
Less ESPN.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, right, a special live numbers game investigation reveals that I am dead wrong about the NBA final schedule. Wow. Okay. Well, let's enjoy it while we have it before we get lulled into sleep again. What is your take on Game 3 after Miami knots up the series after trailing by 15? And I guess the big in Game 2, and I guess the big headlines were the fact that Jokic only had 4 assists. And the fact that the Heat shot the lights out from 3. Those are the two big headlines from Game 2. Where do you stand here with the Nuggets 2.5-point favorites and the total now at 214.5?
Yeah, I mean, you really got to come down hard on Jokic. He only put up 41 4 assists in Game 2. And I know the Heat said that they were not, you know, making an effort to turn him into a scorer. But, when push comes to shove, literally, Nikola Jokic could get to the basket whenever he wants. And, I think he finished, 16 of 28 from the field. I don't know where those 12 misses came. I don't remember Nikola Jokic missing 12 shots.
I don't either.
It feels like any time he's within 7 feet, the amount of touch that this guy has, anytime the ball's on the rim, it falls in. Half the time, it doesn't even hit the rim. I mean, he was just incredible in Game 2. I thought Miami did a much better job limiting Jamal Murray, turning him into a little bit more of a distributor, which is not necessarily a bad thing for Denver. But I think if you're Miami, you want to avoid those explosive Jamal Murray games as a scorer, like we saw in the Western Conference Finals, where he's putting up 35 plus. They really never allowed him to find a groove. Obviously, Michael Porter Jr. was awful, especially on defense in Game 2. I think he'll bounce back in Game 3. But overall, guys, I mean, I've been a Nuggets and Six guy since the beginning of the finals. And, you know, it's still shocking to me, I guess, that Denver lost Game 2. But, you know, they got to lose 2 somewhere if I'm picking them in 6. So I still think Denver's okay here. The 2.5-point line is a little surprising to me. I think the Heat earned back a decent amount of respect, which is good to see. But I mean, that's a 6.5-7-point swing, basically, from where the line sat in games 1 and 2. So I think part of that, obviously, is getting this game at home. Part of it is, the Miami Heat look more like the Miami Heat we've seen throughout these playoffs in Game 2. And, you know, every time they have one of these 17 for 35 type of games from 3, you know, we're all pulling our hair out saying, oh, this can't happen. This can't keep happening. I mean, how many times have they done this now? That's like the 10th time in these playoffs.
It is an amazing stat that they were one additional make. So if they had hit one more 3, they would have been 50% from the field. Because I think they were 17 of 35, if I'm not mistaken. So 18 of 36 would have been that.
So unbelievable. I mean, they're getting 13 wide open 3s per game.
I mean, think
per
about
game
that.
13, so far.
And yeah, Denver's defense was so bad in Game 2. But think about that. Yeah. So if that would have been their fifth game this postseason where they shot 50% or better from behind the arc. In the entire run of the Golden State Warriors dynasty, we're talking Stephen Clay and everybody else, they've done it a total of 4 times, period. And the Heat have already done it 4 times in this postseason. Mm-hmm. So, you know, look, basketball is a very simple game. If the ball goes through the hoop, the ball goes through the hoop. And there's not a lot of analysis. If it goes in the hoop from beyond the arc, there's not a lot of analysis that trumps that kind of percentage. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess, is that where you stand? Where it's like, as long as they're not doing that, you think Denver is mark, you know, by a good margin, the better basketball team. You just can't predict if Miami's not going to do that.
Yeah, I think we have enough of a sample now where, you know, talking about this back in round 1 against Milwaukee, it was like, all right, you know, it's been 3 games, they can't keep this up. And then it's like, well, it's only 5 games, they can't keep this up. And now it's been, 20 games, I think, Miami has played in this postseason. I mean, that's basically a quarter of a regular season. I think we just have to accept it for what it is at this point. But to go back to what you said, yes, I do still think Denver is the better team here. Nothing's changed on that front. I mean, the fact that Miami went 17 of 35 from 3 and Denver still had a chance to tie that game and got a pretty decent look at that late in the fourth quarter in Game 2, I think says a lot. You know, you mentioned in the open that Denver was up 15 in the second quarter. I mean, they were down, 10 to 2, I think, to begin the game. And then it was like 16 to 6. And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, with Nikola Jokic on the bench, mind you, for a lot of this, Denver just goes on this run. And all of a sudden, they're up 15. They were up 8 going into the fourth. Like,
yeah,
you know, obviously, you know, you got to give credit to the Heat for clawing back. They've done it a number of times. And maybe it's a little concerning that Denver blew that lead. But Denver could put up points in a hurry, in a way that even when Miami's shooting it at this rate, I just don't know that they can match. So I still think Denver's okay here. obviously it's a little dicey tonight. If they lose this, they'll be down in a series for the first time in the entire postseason. But I like Denver tonight. I'll take them at -2.5. I think they're the vastly better team. And like I said, we've seen, you know, those like 5-6 minute bursts that they can go on. I just can't get that out of my head.
So Nick is on the Nuggets. He'll lay the 2.5 tonight's game, game number 3 in Miami. Let me ask you this question in closing, and there's no way we can prove, or we're unlikely to be able to prove what the, you know, ultimate answer is to this. But is it your sense that the Heat are better off not having Tyler Hero inserted into the team at this point?
I wouldn't say they're better off. I would say they're better off right now than with Tyler Hero coming back from basically like a month and a half long absence and not looking like himself. Like if you could input mid-season Tyler Hero, who's fully healthy and has been playing for weeks, then Miami's definitely better. But I don't think it's worth the risk at this point, especially when Tyler Hero is openly telling reporters, yeah, my hand is swelling up after I'm just shooting around.
Oh, for sure. So for sure.
Bringing him back in that context, absolutely not. But if you could bring back peak Tyler Hero, healthy Tyler Hero from the regular season, I think you got to take that. He's a 20-point-per-game scorer.
Yeah, but, I mean, let me just push back a little on that. I mean, can you say that with that much confidence? I mean, again, this was the team that struggled to get into the postseason versus this. And that's the thing about basketball, right? And I've said this a million times. Like, if you had Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, the Big O, and Wilt Chamberlain as your starting five, you're not scoring 300 points, right? There's an optimal efficiency to every five on the court, and there's an alchemy to basketball that we are unable to necessarily process with our eyes. And something about this makeup of the Heat just feels better than when Tyler Hero was playing in the regular season, as good as he is.
It's hard to argue with the numbers, man. I mean, obviously the Heat were not this team with him during the regular season, so I can't necessarily mount a statistical case, but I just think against this Nuggets team, where at some point in this series, you're going to have to play keep up. You know, there's going to be a game that's played in the 120s, and that's where I think you need Tyler Hero. Like, is he so much worse defensively than Gabe Vincent or Caleb Martin? I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that. Maybe he is.
Maybe he is, and the Heat are not going to find out tonight because Tyler Hero has been ruled out of game number 3. Of the NBA Finals. Nick, always fun. Enjoy the game. Good luck with your bets, man.
Hey, same to you guys. Appreciate you having me.
Nick Whalen, everybody, from RotoWire at Whalen. Just substitute the number 1 for the letter L. That's a cool kind of Twitter handle. He does that with the 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess Whalen was taken. Just threw the 1 up there. I mean, that's the thing. Are they, they're not clearly better with Tyler Hero. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right?
I would answer it the same way Nick just did.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't. Statistically, you're absolutely right. I can't argue it.
I present to you the postseason, ladies and gentlemen. We'll come back with Matt Brown on golf next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. This is from Gilly Ice Butchers my nickname is what he calls himself. He's tweeting me this Chad Graff tweet that says, while players around the league have said they weren't fully briefed on the NFL's gambling rules, that doesn't seem to be the case with the Patriots. Dietrich Wise says that Bill Belichick has ran a meeting on the subject, and Kyle Duggar saying, on his knowledge of it, I know the rules. So Bill Belichick, as always, dotting his I's and crossing his T's, man. That's what you need on every team, for sure. 3-3-Jack-H-3-1-3-1. For those that are so in love with the Heat, does that mean that they can't feel their stupid faces? Okay, so inside numbers game stuff. Jamie Leva. Okay, Kelly, we need two things. One, more Mike Pritchard stories, maybe podcast. I'm hooked. I need more details. Two, Gil's sushi joint. No, really, though. Have a great day, gentlemen. Love the content and all you provide. Thank you so much. That's very nice of you, Jamie. And John Harris, shout out.
VSiN Plus Plus.
VSiN Plus Plus. Total VSiN Plus Plus.
That
yeah, I'm sure. VSiN Plus 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 Plus, maybe. John Harris, shout out to Beating the Book Podcast French Open special. Gil and Drew nailed the Haddad, Maya, and Mukova quarters. Had Maya at 13-1 and Mukova at 8-1. Sweet money. Glad you jumped on both of those. And Josh Allen is on the cover of Madden 24. Chris Heath says, look what Kelly just did. Oh, no. One thing before we get to Matt Brown here. The Aces, the Las Vegas Aces, just won another WNBA game. We had Daniele on here, Daniele Alvari on the show on set on Friday, talking WNBA. I watched part of a game the other night because Todd was betting on him. He's like, well, you watch the pace of this game. Kelsey Plum is like, she can do anything she wants on a basketball court. She's like quicker than everybody. Talk me out of anytime that Aces play, talk me out of an Aces team that plays the A's money line parlay. Can you talk me out of that?
4-3 ATS. They've actually lost. They haven't covered as many.
Forget the ATS. The Aces team that plays the A's money line parlay as a bankroll builder.
I can't talk you out of it.
Can't talk me out of it.
They're dang good. We should have all been putting bets in on them already.
Between that and the I hate their stupid faces analysis on the show today, we have really been killing it. Matt Brown, everybody, joins us. He's co-host of The Handle right here at VSiN, and a man who was a key cog, maybe the keyest of all cogs, if you will, when you talk about cogs, in the primetime action motor back in the day. How you doing, Mateo?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I mean, the NFL gambling stuff, to kind of, before we get to the golf stuff, I mean, listen, these rules have been around forever, right? I mean, just because there's legalized gambling now does not mean that these guys have not been beat over the head the second they step into the league with do not gamble on the NFL. And hey, by the way, don't be stupid enough to gamble on your team for sure if you're going to gamble on the NFL. So it's like, I know we like to point at the spread of legalized gambling as a reason why some of this stuff continues to pop up, but actually it's just more of a product of that's the reason these guys are getting caught doing it, as opposed to that it's the reason that it's happening, right? I mean, they have known forever to not gamble on professional football. I mean, this is something the day that you get into rookie camp that they sit down and tell you. So, I think we're just using this whole legalized gambling spread as kind of a crutch for all of this, when really that's the reason we're catching the dudes. Is actually, we should be glad, as opposed to trying to point the finger at like, see, this is what happens whenever you legalize gambling, that whatever. No, this is the reason we're catching these guys.
Oh, first of all, it's a great point. The rule has always been there. I don't think that's the point of what anybody's saying. I think it's now that it is legal that they're doing it and they are getting caught. You're 100% right. And I believe it's going to happen time and time again. My whole thing with this is, and we may never know the answer to this, right? But if it happened to a high-profile player, let's say a quarterback, the week before, would the NFL actually follow through on this? Pritch seems to think they would. I don't know. We may never know the answer to that. So, I mean,
yeah. I think the other thing they've got to do is just like, I mean, they've got to just have common sense with these rules as well. I mean, as we found out with the whole Jamison Williams stuff, like, okay, whether you bet on the NFL or not, if you are steps inside a facility or whether you're in the parking lot, like, that matters. Like, no, that does not matter. Let's make common sense, at least, with all of this. Yes, we do not want these dudes betting on their sport in which they have intimate inside knowledge as to what's going on. But if the guy makes a basketball bet because he's sitting in the cold tub or he's sitting out in the parking lot in his car, that should not matter at all.
Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen, 100% right on all of that. All right, let me get your reaction before we get your Canadian Open plays. Your reaction as someone who's the host of Long Shots with Kelly Bidlin and Wes Reynolds, the golf's podcast here, the greatest golf podcast there ever was and ever is currently at VSiN.com/podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed. What was your reaction to the whole LIV news yesterday merging with the PGA Tour?
Well, after I got past the thought that this was somebody getting pranked or whatever, then when I realized that it was real, we see something come from CNBC, like a sports thing, you're like, yeah, this isn't real, you know, and of course it did turn out to be real. You know, now that I've had a little bit of time to think about all of this, I think there was a pretty decent amount of motivation on both sides to try to get something done, right? If you look on the PGA Tour side of things, all these lawsuits that were going on between them and LIV, look, they're fighting a battle with someone that has infinite money. It was going to get super, super expensive. And from both sides of this, they were getting to the discovery phase in all of this. And Gil, you know, this is no inside knowledge. Obviously, I don't have sources. This is just kind of from the outside looking in. But it seems like neither one of these guys really wanted to get real deep into that, right? If you're the PIF, do you want to have to disclose a whole bunch of stuff about what you're doing with your money? I don't think so. And certainly the PGA Tour enjoys their tax exempt status. And so they don't want anything to get, you know, brought into light that maybe could possibly put them out of that phase of their, you know, of the existence. And so I think there was a lot of motivation here with all this. And if you're on the LIV side of things and the PIF side of things, I think you really did get what you wanted. I mean, they have wanted to be in big time sports. I mean, look, this is a long time ago and you have to be kind of really inside to know this, but you know, they invested in the UFC like a decade ago, right? And they bought 10% of the company. And I think that they just decided that MMA was not necessarily the way to, you know, really get either get rich or put themselves really into the mainstream. And so they kind of faded into the background when it came to that. But you know, they own majorities of soccer teams. They own F1 teams. Now they're getting into golf. This is just something they've always wanted to do. And they used the leverage of a lot of money that they were able to pick off some of these guys and put the PGA Tour's feet to the fire and got what they wanted from that standpoint. And from the PGA Tour standpoint, I think at the end of the day, you just breathe a sigh of relief because you don't want your guys getting picked off, right? I mean, the threat of guys still leaving was always there. It's still something you're always going to deal with so long as PIF was around. And so now you can at least breathe easy that your biggest stars won't be leaving for a rival golf tour.
Well said. And seeing Najat again, for those who missed it earlier on the show, obviously the show is on replay and Numbers Game has a podcast that's available every day at VSiN.com/podcast. Seeing Najat had a really measured take on all of this from a legal perspective as an attorney and a golf bettor as well that folks should definitely listen to. Okay, we have a couple minutes left. Matt, your RBC Canadian Open thoughts this week, the week before the U.S. Open.
Yeah, this is always a weird week. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the live long shots where we've already had a boatload of withdrawals in this thing. Guys that are trying to qualify for the U.S. Open on Monday that do qualify and they play a long day of golf. You play 36 holes. So the guys that did qualify are pulling out. And so it's just a kind of a tough putt here. No pun intended when it comes to all of this. The top of the board, I know Kelly did play a guy at the top of the board. I'm avoiding all of that. I mean, I just don't think we're going to get that much worse odds if I want to come in with a little bit of sample size. If I want to get a round under my belt to come in on a Rory or a Tyrrell Hatton or a Sam Burns or Fitzpatrick. I mean, these guys are all, you know, 6, 11, 14, stuff like that. I mean, you're not going to get that much worse of a number, I think, if we just hold out. So I started in the middle of the odds board here and certainly chop around, as we always say, maybe these numbers can change. What we put on the card yesterday and what your graphic for the people who have the $9.99 free or whatever trial subscription that you can get over at VSiN.com that are watching can see. These are the numbers that were current as of yesterday on DraftKings. So those were the numbers that you could get with all those. Certainly there's been some movement and all that, but I have Adam Hadwin and Adam Svensson as two of the better values from where they showed up in my model for where the odds are placed on these guys. And listen, in a weaker field, that's why the odds are where they are. Would we rather be having, you know, 55, 60 on a guy like Hadwin? Would we rather have 70 on a guy like Svensson? You know, absolutely. But it's a pretty top heavy board. So I do like where those guys show up. Eric Cole, we had him at super, super long odds about a month and a half ago. He didn't get it done, but we were able to hedge off, make some money off him. He's got some really good finishes out there. This guy's for real. If you look at his strokes gain stuff over the last month and a half, he's right up there with everybody else. So I like Eric Cole in this thing. And then we went with three just kind of longer shot guys that have been playing really, really well of late. We don't know a ton about this course, so I'm just going with guys that got the hot hand. And if they're hitting it good right now in a weaker field that's certainly not as deep, then I'll take my shots on those guys. So if you're looking at those guys, Mark Hubbard, Vincent Norman, and Carson Young are three different guys that you can get kind of north of 80-1 that are really, really playing well right now. And if you put them comparatively to the guys in the rest of the field, They're ahead of a lot of guys in a lot of the key categories that we're kind of guessing are going to play this week. We don't really know. So, hey, on to the U.S. Open, right?
Any bets on that so far? Anything? Outright?
I got me a Max Homa ticket.
There you go. That's my guy. That's exactly who I'm going to bet on as well, along with Scheffler. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Kelly and I coming back with Kelly's golf picks next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Just want to read a couple more here on the show. And again, thank you to everybody who chimes in. This is from Jeff Staples. Did you just see Zverev texting on his phone during the changeover? Is that allowed? He was hiding it by his towel. I did not see that. We don't have the match up.
That's awesome.
But he does. There was another. There's someone else who mentioned. Did you just see him? Oh no. What he's doing?
Live betting.
No. Yes, he's live betting. No. So I don't know if this is because somebody else chimed in on this other matter. I don't know if the two things are related because I wasn't watching. But he has had this. He has had an ongoing issue. He has diabetes, and so he does.
It's probably like a blood sugar check or
it's
something.
Probably
like
a blood sugar check. And he actually, one of the French Open umpires didn't know this and sort of like scolded him at one point. He's like, no, this is a thing with me. I'm not doing anything.
That would make sense.
Yeah. By the way, that's one of our two tennis bets was the over in this Sasha Zverev, Tomas Martin, Echeverry match. They split the first two sets. Sasha Zverev won the first 6-4. Echeverry won the second 6-3. So we just need a couple more competitive sets at a minimum, and we'll get that over home at 36.5. And the other one today is Casper Ruud. That will follow. Casper Ruud we have at minus 131 over Holger Rune. In addition to the data and the numbers being on Ruud's side on clay here over Rune, there's a few other things going on, which is Rune has spent a lot of time on the court already this tournament, so he's got to be super gassed here. And if you like a revenge angle, Casper Ruud and Holger Rune, Kelly, throw out the records when those two play because they do not like each other. And Ruud wants a little revenge. Oh, yeah.
I'm in on that today. Yeah. I like it. Tail it along.
There you go.
What do we got? 11, it's like 11:30 I saw. Yeah. That's perfect. That is Kelly's at his desk working on the show tomorrow, looking at some basketball stuff. Have that on in the background. Mm. Perfect. Perfect little Wednesday afternoon.
You know what my favorite version of Kelly is? Pointing Kelly. And talking third person, Kelly. I love that guy. That and hot takes, Kelly. I'm sorry. Chris Singleton is better than Kawhi Leonard ever will be. Golden Bear. Hey, look, Golden Bear is listening to the show. Just a shout out how beneficial watching your show is. Guests are always sharp. I cashed Rose Zhang 16-1. Thank you, Jason. Keep on keeping on, Gil. You got it. Jason Weingarten. Jason Weingarten, who, by the way, when he cashed that, he texted me, he goes, I continue my run as the most profitable numbers game host in history. guest in history. He really wants that crown. He's vying for that.
Now there is the male version of Rochane going on this weekend with the Canadian Open.
Oh,
and
Ludwig
Aber. Yeah.
Tell me about him.
I don't know if he is highly sought of a prospect, I guess, but he's way up there, and he will be the first, I believe, male NCAA champion to tee it up. This is partially because of rule changes, mm-hmm. but to tee it up in this short of a span, just like Rose did. So yeah, he's in the field this week. I actually kind of have a bet against him. I have a Vincent Norman top Swedish player bet that I made this week. Don't think I've ever played that market before, Gil. But yeah, Vincent Norman's a guy. And actually, Matt had an outright on him. Wes had an outright on him. Big bomber. I'm hoping he popped up in my models a lot, hoping he's going to do a kind of bomb and gouge route on this course. So I actually played him as top Swede in this market, but Ludwig Åberg is in that market as well. So just something to keep in mind if you are high on him.
I didn't know Ludwig was still a popular German name. I did not know that.
Swedish. But
he's Swedish?
Yeah, he's okay. Swedish.
It's a German word.
I don't know his background. Yeah.
It's a German word that means famous war, as in famous war van Beethoven. Von Beethoven.
There you go.
There you go. Just want to point that out. So you don't have a bet on him, though. You're not.
No. I'm going against him.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going against him, actually. All right. But yeah, something to keep an eye on this week, though, because Rose was awesome last week.
Now that you've destroyed Michael Block's career by fading him, now you're going to try to fade him?
That's right. I'm just trying. Yeah, that's right. Every feel-good story a week, I'm trying to just destroy.
Do.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Let's see. I'll quickly roll through mine here. Only outrights. I wanted to ask Matt this question. We kind of ran out of time. We had, obviously, our bets. We went into that show yesterday. I only added a couple more after that, Gil. Maybe I'm a little bit in my own head, but I always take it easy on the week before a major anyways. But with all this chaos going on in the golf world, I don't know how these guys are going to – this is a very mental game of golf. I
was going to ask you that.
Like, yeah.
If that made you sort of think, this is really squirrely week. Maybe I should ratchet this back. Do you think it will bleed over into the U.S. Open?
No, I don't. I think part of the timing is because of that. I think that by next week, we know how the news cycle works. I think by the time we're talking Thursday of next week, we're going to be kind of over some of these, discussions.
Right. I think you're right.
I think the timing played a part in that for sure. But this week, I mean, if you're Rory McIlroy, and we were talking about this off air, on air, but like, you have defended Jamon Hamm more than anything.
Dude.
It sure seems like, oh boy, you are still connected to him somehow. I don't know what you're getting paid under the table or whatever. He is still in. He got hosed more than anybody, Gil. Like, I mean, Rory has been standing up there defending the PGA Tour and made Jay Monahan. He could have taken a ton of money and ran. So what does that mean? Does that mean Rory's going to come out this week and shoot, 20 better than everybody else because he's pissed off? Or he's going to play like a tin cup and use a 7-iron and play just to make a sham of the PGA Tour? I don't know. I don't really think either one of those is going to happen. But my point, especially him, it starts with him, but everybody, this has to be affecting them mentally, right? So I don't. It's just a lighter betting card for me anyways.
Makes sense.
I really wasn't crazy about adding much more. So real quick, outrights, yes, I played Tyrrell Hatton. He's number one in this field to me, even with Rory McIlroy in there. Statistical-wise, Tyrrell Hatton's been incredible recently. 10 starts since March 1st. Just saw this one come down. 10 starts since March 1st, 7 top 20s, 4 top 5s, ranked 2nd in strokes gained total, ranked 4th in strokes gained tee to green. That is in the entire PGA Tour. He's been playing really well, and I don't have any motivation questions on a guy like this, Gil, because it's been a little while since he's won in the States. This guy wins when he plays in Europe. He struggles when he plays in the States. He would love to capture a victory here before he goes to the U.S. Open. I also bet him at the U.S. Open already. So Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Rose at 20-1, a guy who's already won this year. I think in this kind of field, I am very, very willing to play him at 20-1. And then I went long. I wanted to look either top of the board or way long shots. Carson Young, it's another guy Matt played as well. He's played him a few times actually this year. 200-1 at Circa here in town. You're going to find under 100-1 most places, rest of the country. I would still play it though. He was top 15, top 20 in most of my models. I played a top 20 bet on him as well. Top 20 on Justin Rose, top 20 on Tommy Fleetwood. Matchups, Fleetwood over Burns, Rye over Garrick Higo. And there's my Vincent Norman. Top Swedish player.
Yeah. Last thing about the PGA and the LIV before we get to last basketball thoughts, which is, what Sia said earlier on the show, Sia Najad, an attorney who's also a golf bettor. That was an interesting perspective because he's like, hey, look, actually, Jay Monahan was right in the sense that things do change and that perspective changes from a legal standpoint. You're always strategizing. I would just add that's one thing, and I'm willing to listen to what Sia is saying. It's an entirely different thing when it's juxtaposed against the fact that you invoked 9/11 families last year and then did the about face.
Yeah.
You can't. It's one. I get it. But on the other hand, if you're doing that, oh, boy.
I don't know how he survives.
It's the worst look possible.
I really don't know how he survives this.
I'm on the under in the basketball game tonight. I got 215.5 on NBA Finals game number 3. Did you have any bets?
No, nothing pregame. I'll be looking live. Denver in the under live is what I'll be looking for.
Okay.
The only thing I really might, if the odds keep going up, because I bet Michael Porter Jr. To have a double-double about plus 260, I think it was, in game 2. He's been terrible so far. I'm not going to sit here and say he's been great by any means, but he still has all the advantages that we talked about before this series. The length, any of those long rebounds, he should be able to grab easily, but it requires a little effort, which I know he's been called out for. So see if that shows up. He hits a few threes. He easily goes over that double-digit point mark. Double-double, for him to have a double-double, I saw it plus 390 earlier this morning. I have a feeling I'm going to jump in on that a little bit at least.
All right. And we both like that prop that we talked about at the beginning of the show. If you have this available, Gabe Vincent -0.5 versus Aaron Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Love that as well. Biggest revelation on the show today is that we found out that game 3 is tonight, game 4 is Friday, and then game 5 is not till Monday, which means there's no hockey or basketball Sunday. What are we doing?
Make plans with your family now for Sunday.
Oh, my God. I have to talk to your family.
Gotta do it while you can. Football's coming soon.
Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.